Blog Talk Radio.
Gloria, she made me do nothing in me. Shattered but not broken. It's
when we start talking about it, I wrote this book to encourage others, to let them know that there is a way out in terms of being mentally messed up or mentally abused or physically abused. There is a way out. And sometimes we feel like there's no way out. How could God deliver us from this situation? And I'm not talking about divorce and separation, but I'm just talking about mentally. How can I overcome these obstacles, these things that's in my life that's had me so bound? Like, how can I overcome? Because I've been lost so much of myself. Hallelujah. And it's so crazy because when God had me to write this book, I had to be transparent. It took me 10 years. I already had it done. 10 years, it was done already. And God called me to a place where, okay, so now you got to go write this book. It's already written. Now you got to get it published. So it's Shattered But Not Broken under Wanda Martin. And it's on Amazon. And also, I have some great things coming my way. Coming your way, which is my sunshine, if I have those up correctly, my cocoa butter foot scrub, and also my glory morning, which is my coffee and flaxseed foot scrub. So you got to go check out my website, which is www.hopevictorious.com, and I'm going to be on there giving all kind of deals and specials for the holiday, for Thanksgiving. But let's get right into it. Oh, my God, I was so blessed last night. I always go back and read this book over and over again because it has such great aspirations. But you know what I wanted to say here on today is that I thank God that I'm in a place where I didn't come out so bitter. Now, I was bitter when I came out of that toxic marriage that I was in, but I love marriage. Marriage is a great thing, and it's a beautiful thing. Anything that God creates is beautiful, and I'm glad that I was at a place when I came out, and as God continued to heal me, I wasn't a woman scorned. You know, I'm thinking there's no good men. I know there's good men out here. Amen? It's just who we choose as our mates, and that can go vice versa for men that may be on the men that's on this call, that women out here, you know. So I believe in marriage. My Boaz, I know he is on my way. I know my kids is like, what? And yes, because mama got to do her own thing. Amen. So let's get to it. So I'm going to be coming from my book, Shattered But Not Broken, beginning with page 12, but you don't have to follow all the way through, or you can pick up the book if you want to, but you can follow Amazon. But if those who have purchased my book, I'm going to be starting with page 12, but I'm going to be taking extras because you're going to kind of see me like everywhere. But when God dropped in my spirit about a will to win, because you could be in that dark place where you may feel like, I don't want to even come out of this place, or how do I even come out? Because in my mind, I was thinking, Lord, I'm so broken. How could you mend these broken pieces back together again? I know you got the power. I know you got Almighty. I know you are all that, you know, to mend broken pieces back together again. But Lord, because you be thinking like, oh my God, your mind be so psyched out. And who are you to question God? You know God can fix it. You know God can do it. You know God can heal your mind. Hallelujah. But just think of yourself, even though if you don't think of it as relationships, think about a will to win when it comes down to your life, when it comes out with my next God. How do I come out of this mentally? How do I come out of this physically? How do I come out of this financially? What is my next one? You got to have a will to win and the will to fight. You have to fight on today. You fight, fight, fight. And I'm not talking about physically fighting, but our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God are pulling down the strongholds. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We lift you and we give you the highest praise. We thank you, God, for today, and we thank you for every day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your warm sense of feeling that you give to us, God. We thank you for nurturing us, God. We thank you for your son Jesus on the cross for our sins that we may have everlasting life. Instead of our words, I shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to just read a little excerpt of my book, and it says, this is like the middle of the book. This is one of my chapters, Who She Was. Mm-hmm. It says, this was a mistake, he said, as he rolled his eyes at me. Before I could respond, he walked away. This scene replayed daily like a broken recording. There was never enough time to repair or to heal from each time he said it, because he made sure he told me every single day how he felt. it was obvious that he didn't even want to hear my voice. I couldn't understand what happened, especially since we had just had one of the most beautiful weddings one could imagine. I had so many people who looked up to me when I got married. They were all there to celebrate with me. This was supposed to be for a lifetime. How could I admit that it had all fallen apart in less than 1 year? I could not tell my family that the beautiful wedding that my husband and I had just put so much time and money into was nothing but a sham. Let me tell y'all something. When you don't pray and go to God and ask God what's right and what's the next step, it don't even have to be a relationship. It could be buying a car, buying a house. It could be the next move in your life. It could be a next job opportunity. When you don't ask God, is this right? Because stuff that's flashing don't mean it's always right for you. So when he said he made a mistake, or I said I made a mistake, I felt like I did. I'm saying to myself, it was just a mistake. But I knew it was, because the thing about it is that I did pray about this situation. I did pray and I asked God. And I heard the voice of the Lord and I ignored him. I ignored God because it's something that I wanted so much. That's just like wanting a car that you see is so beautiful. You know you don't have the money for it. And you know even if you had it, each month when that car will come, your money going to be eaten up. But in your mind, I got to have it because it's time. Whew, glory to God, because it's time. It ain't time until God says that it's time. And you will mess yourself up. But because I wanted to be married so bad, and I felt like, oh, my gosh, I'm almost 30 years old. You see, that's another thing. We can't put a time to nothing. Because if you look in the Bible, it was people, Abraham, you know, Moses, when they was out doing ministry at an elder age. Noah, when he completed the ark. Hallelujah. And we always rushing. We got to get it. We got it now because of our time. Man, ain't no such thing as biological clock clicking, because God is the clock. And he will clock you. He is the clock. So I totally stepped out. I heard the voice of the Lord, and I did not hearken unto him because I wanted to be married so bad. So I ignored God, and I went into something that I should not have. How many of us have actually gone into situations knowing that God said no, knowing that he said don't take that job promotion, you know, but I want it because I feel like it's mine, and I feel like I should be in that position, and the money is good, but then God says no. Have you ever been in a place when you did say no to it, and then a couple months later, bam, here come another opportunity, and God said go for it, and it was better than the one that you thought that you wanted? Oh, glory. Let me tell you, that's God. Now, I'm not saying every time a job promotion comes, it's like, oh, my God, that's not for me. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about when you pray about things, but when you know that thing is right, God will make it right for you. But and then another thing, when I went back and I said, everybody looked up to me because I was an evangelist in the church. And you know how people look upon leaders, you know, and I felt like, oh, my God, my marriage was a sham less than a year. I was told I'm not attracted to you. I don't want to be with you. Do you know that was like, ugh. And the chapter where it came from, the book was, the chapter that I'm reading from is who she was. Because who she was a woman who had high self-esteem. You know, my mom and daddy told me, hey, you know, don't nobody talk to you like that. My self-esteem was built up so high until it was just no way that I can let something like that penetrate inside of me. But when I read every day, he reminded me how much he did not want to be in that. You ever been around? Imagine how Hannah felt in the Bible. Every time she turned around, Penina vexing her because Penina had something that Hannah wanted. But what I love about Hannah is that she didn't want her children. She wanted children of her own. So you got to be careful of covering what other folk got, because what other folk have, you don't know what they went through to get to that, okay? So want it for yourself, your own, amen? So imagine how Hannah felt provoked every day, but in the midst of Hannah being provoked every day, she still went to the altar. She still prayed. Her husband, I love Elkanah, her husband. I love his personality. I love his charisma. I love how he loved on Hannah. And he said, Hannah, aren't I better than 10 sons? Because he thought, I'm giving you a worthy portion. I'm giving you more than even what I'm giving Penina. But he loved her so much. And she went up to the temple, up to Shiloh to pray. Every year they would go up to Shiloh to give sacrifices. So she went over to the temple after she ate with her family. And she prayed, still believing God. And it's something when you could be that broken, when you could be that taunted, that people taunt that you constantly every day. But on the inside, hallelujah, Jesus, you can feel the Spirit of the Lord yearning on the inside of you that there is more to this. There is more. So I'm telling you on today, there is more. Tears of joy. There is joy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I know you feel it churning on top of your weariness, on top of your brokenness. I know you feel it churning. Co-workers, man, she is on here, and she's always praising the Lord. Even when we were on a job, she praised him, praised him, praised him, because she knows there is more. She knows that it is more than what's right now, and you can feel it churning. And when Luke, when Ruth left her homeland from her mama and her daddy, she knew that it was more. You couldn't tell me she didn't feel like it's more yearning on the inside of her when she decided to take that leap of faith, went to a foreign land, didn't know nobody there. Hallelujah. But when you're obedient to the Lord, when things look strange, when things look uncomfortable and feel uncomfortable, and you know that it's more. If there's a path and there is more. Hallelujah. It ain't over because God says that it's over. Glory be to God. And that's another thing. When you live into other people's expectations, everybody's going to look at me and know my marriage was a sham. Well, what was I supposed to do? I'm human just like you all are. Hallelujah. But sometimes we feel like we got to, you know, fix the part. Yeah, but I'm human and I'm bleeding on the inside like you. Hallelujah. But God is able to mend, God is able to heal and stop the bleeding. What? Oh, Jesus. Don't let nobody put you down and make you feel like that you're not worthy. No, make somebody make you feel like you're inadequate. Somebody make you feel like you're unattractive because they're not attracted to you. No, they bring you down because they don't want nobody else to have you, even though they don't, which don't make no sense. Okay, so let me finish reading. So I said, maybe it was a mistake. I didn't think so at the time, but he said it so often that I soon began to believe it. When someone you love begins to repeat negative messages to you, you soon start to believe them. When you got somebody constantly beating you down, you soon start to believe all of that stuff. They always say sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Yeah, words do hurt. Because the tongue has the power to hurt you. Yeah, it does. So where I got that from, I'm saying to you, is that words do hurt. And constantly being told that every day. And sometimes people, even if I tell you, you could just see their mannerism. You could just see they don't want to be around you. You could see they don't like you. You could see they don't want to be with you. That's a hurtful thing when you have given up some stuff to be with them. Okay, my walls of positive thinking and believing God for my marriage crumbled under the pressure. Ooh, I got to read that again. It says, my walls of positive thinking and believing God for my marriage crumbled under the pressure of my husband's negative words. I shut down and said nothing except I'm just fine. Because those negative words of my ex-husband's mouth constantly, that negative environment, get out of that negative environment. My sister Nikki and Penny and my mama tell you, I'll unfollow folk in a minute. Don't follow me. Don't call me. I can't take all that negative energy. Now, I used to be able to take all of that, but I guess the older you get, or maybe the more you mature in God, it's like you ain't got to subject yourself to all those nasty text messages that come through your phone and calling you. No, you don't. I ain't got to answer to nobody but God. And when he calls me, trust me, he has the precious, most precious words to say. Oh, glory. You got to surround yourself with some folk that's positive. Get out of that negative world that you're in. And I know it's hurtful because sometimes we'll be around folks that we've been for years and they negative. Cut them off. It's okay. When you see them on the street, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? How's the family? But you don't have to subject yourself to that. Now, I ain't saying, you know, stop talking to me and me. Now, I ain't talking about that. But what I'm saying is that when you cut them off and you see them on the street, just say, hey, how you doing? How's things going? How's the family? Because you generally still love them, but you can't take that negativity. Cut it. Cut it off. Stop it. Because those negative words keep you playing in your mind. And after a while, I'm like, yeah, this is a mistake. I ain't already prayed and asked God before I went down the aisle. And God telling me it's not time. And then I come in here and you're negative. But see, God knows everything. And he knew what was going to happen before I even walked down the aisle. But I didn't listen to none of his precautions. I didn't take heed to what he was saying to me. But thank you, my sister Nikki. She told me about my book, Shattered But Not Broken. So I said, let me get back to this thing. And God dropped it in my spirit. Hallelujah. So when people start to ask me, because I start to crumble and shut down, and that's when the depression starts. Ooh, Jesus, that's when the depression starts. So this young woman who was walking around with high self-esteem and so much confidence in herself was beat down by words, not even physical hands, but by words. Don't allow people's words to affect you. You go on the job, negative energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I used to do? Go on my job. I used to anoint everything before everybody come in. Let me tell you, it was the most peaceful day. My supervisor was peaceful. Everybody was peaceful. Amen. So you got to go in and start anointing that place where you're at. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Go and take some extra virgin olive oil. And don't cook with it after that, but just use it and pray over it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I quote the scripture, God has given me power to tread over demons and scorpions and any evil thing that it will not harm me. Start anointing stuff and removing stuff out of that place. And only keep the extra olive oil for you for anointing, not for cooking after you pray over it. It's only for anointing. Amen. So you can still buy it for cooking, but not the one that you take and anoint. Keep that for anointing. I don't care if you're running low on olive oil. Don't use it for cooking because it's only for anointing. Woo, glory. Whew, Jesus. So, and then I said, when anyone would ask, it was easier that way. I listen to the scripture. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. My lines are open if someone want to call. Call in. I gave everybody the number. You can press 1 and I'll take your call if you wanted to add something or say something on this morning. Let me see, do I have anybody on here? I'm just taking my time on this morning, guys, because this is just something, a will to win. Let me see. Okay. I don't think nobody dialed in. But you're more than welcome to dial in and I'll take your call. I can give you the number again. That's only if you want to comment and say something. It's also my Hope Victoria's page. The number is 845-277-9233. So that's 845-277-9433. And you can press 1 if you want to dial it. I'll keep checking back periodically, but we're just going to keep on going. So what I'm saying is that, I just love that portion of scripture because I'm going to read that scripture again. This is Amos 3:3, and it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, we wasn't walking together because we didn't agree on nothing. we didn't agree on nothing. We was unevenly yoked. So, and you have friends that's unevenly yoked and know that, no, cut them off. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go shopping this Christmas holiday. And what happens when you're walking with them? It's always about them. It's always about their world, negative energy. Now they angry because you didn't bought a pair of shoes that they didn't buy. And all that negative stuff, getting rid of all of that. Oh, glory. Yes, yes, yes. And this, and I love this. I will press, but it comes a time where you just got to start pressing and say, look, I have to have a will to win. Because if I don't have a will to win, I'm going to crumble. But if I have a will to win, I know I'll make it. Hallelujah. That makes sense? Because you have a will to win on the inside to get up from that bed. My mama always says a bed, you know, sucks you in. It draws you in when you lay in the bed. you know, when you lay in the bed for so long and so many days. So I love this scripture. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 14. I press towards the mark, love it, of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That was Philippians 3:14. It was during a counseling session that I learned that my calling was higher than my circumstances. My spiritual father, Bishop Avenger, told me that. Because at that time, I was getting ready, like, I ain't no evangelist. I'm not preaching. I'm not teaching. I'm not doing anything. And it was a counseling session that he told me, and I always kept that with me. It was during a counseling session, and he said, and then I learned that my calling is higher than my circumstances. Whoa, glory, because the enemy will have you so bound. How could you preach and look and you all separated? How could you preach and tell the good news of the gospel or help anybody and look at you all broken? But don't you know that brokenness, ooh, Jesus, that was a part of my healing? Because I was able to minister to other people, ooh, in my brokenness. Who want to minister when they're broken? But because my call was higher than my circumstances or my situation. So for those mothers and those fathers, you may not have a title behind your name, but you got a title in that house. You're a father or you're a mother. Or how about your uncle or your nephew or you a cousin? So whatever your role is, your call as an uncle, as an aunt, as a mother, as a nephew, as a niece, whatever your call is, it's higher, and you got people looking up to you. So it's higher than your situation. So you got to get up out of that bed. You got to get dressed. Godmother's got to get dressed, and you got to keep pushing because you got some folks that's counting on you. So your call, and even if you're in a leadership position and you don't feel like going to church and ministering because you're so broken, but your call is higher than your circumstances. Woo, glory be to God. So let's get it together. Wipe your eyes. Get out there because you got to preach the gospel. Woo, Jesus, in brokenness. Woo, glory to God. Look at the woman at the well. She was so broken. You could tell because she had five husbands, and the one that she was with wasn't even a husband. But that was a place of brokenness, and I know it. Because she was trying to feed the void, just use my own imagination. She was trying to feed that void of not having when you have that many men. And the one that you're with is not even your husband. Hallelujah. So broken, coming out in the noonday, in the heat of the day to the water, to the well, when everybody came in the morning and the evening. But she came with nobody else around because you know how that go. Everybody talking about you, what you doing in the city, and you are poor and calling you all kind of names. She still came out. Because, see, you never know where your blessings may lie. She didn't know that Jesus was going to be at the well that day. She didn't know that she was going to start professing the gospel as she got converted and be the truth of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus. And she started running through the town. Come see a man who knew everything about me. Hallelujah. So you never know when God is going to promote you. You never know when that blessing is coming. You never know when you stand in the gas station pumping gas and somebody give you their card or somebody likes something that you have, and next thing you know, whoo, everything then blew up because they didn't, you know, license your work. You never know. Glory be to God. Ooh, you never know where opportunities lie. You got to get up out of the bed. You got to work this thing out. Get from in front of the TV. You got to work it out. Hallelujah. Be watching TV sometime. My son be like, to me and my daughter, y'all not working? Okay, I guess everything got to cut off because he's like, work. You grind and you work and you build your business. Amen. And then I said, it seems that all I did at that time was cry out like I had never cried before. The Lord gave me scriptures all the time, which was the only way I could continue to try to live. Oh, glory. All these scriptures that I have read to you, Amos, Philippians, is the scriptures God gave me. That was the only way I can live. That's the only way I can breathe or see this thing through is the scriptures, because I live and feast off of the scriptures. The scriptures help you, it fortifies you, and it comforts you, it encourages you, and sets you free, and heals you. Hallelujah. The just one moment, God. And heal you. Hallelujah. It's one thing to have an argument and you understand the problem. It's another thing to deal with it and you move on. But when your spouse says they are not attracted to you anymore, after only a few months of marriage, see, it's one thing to say what's the problem and you move on from that. But when your other person shuts down on you and don't want to talk about it, what you fighting with? You don't even know how to help. You don't even know how to make things better if they silent and not talking. You don't even know. Good communication is good, you guys. Communication is good with inside your home. Talk to your children. Talk to your mama, your daddy. Talk to your family. Talk to your cousins, your nieces and nephews. Communication. If there's a problem, tell them that there's a problem. Because I'm not attracted to you anymore. After a few months of marriage. And then stops talking to you altogether. What could you do? Stop talking altogether. I'm not attracted to you, and then stop talking. Well, why are you not attracted to me? You can't answer that. So what happens when somebody tells you and sends you out some words like that and you sit there like, oh, my God, I'm not attractive, I'm not beautiful? Do you know folks could do it a nonverbal way and make you feel like that you're not attractive? Then you got to say words out of your mouth, but you know it. You can feel it. But what God says, you create an image of God. God don't make no junk. Don't you know he don't make no junk? You have to know he don't make no junk. I don't care who makes you feel like that. When you get on the bus, people looking at you like you're crazy. You are beautiful. Beautiful is not on the outside. It's the inside of you. And you have to know that you are. You got to know that you're fearful. You got to know that you're powerful. You got to know that you are courageous. You have to know that you are all. When nobody else thinks it, you got to know it. Because folks sometimes don't think it, but you have to know it. And I said, where there's no talking, things can be difficult. Even if we have exchanged words about how we felt about each other, then we would have something to work with. But when there is absolutely no communication, you can't move. What you could do with no communication? Nobody communicating and telling you why, telling you what's the problem. Why do we shut down sometimes and we feel like we can't communicate? We had to communicate in our house when we was coming up. I guess that's why I could talk so much. because hash out my soul, I'll tell you how I feel. Because in our house, we couldn't have a shut mouth. Ask my sisters, we had to sit there and tell each other why we were upset. Then we had to apologize to each other. Then we had to kiss each other. I didn't want to kiss my sisters when I'm mad, but my mother and father made us. So to this day, we can have the worst arguments. And then before we hang up, we'll say, okay, what you want to eat tomorrow? You want to go out to dinner? Because it's done. It's squashed. You can ask my nephew, Flicking Marika. It's just done. It's over. We didn't talk about it. It's done. We hashed it out. And let's keep moving because how we were brought up. My cousin Camilla tell you that's how we were brought up. You ain't no grudges. What you grudging for? What you angry for? You better talk it out. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's that, and so, and I said, okay, so, okay, and as he continued to remind me of his mistakes, with that, what can I do with that? After he kept reminding me of his mistakes, his mistake of marrying me, I could have said to him, well, I'm great, and God said, it's about time. But I didn't because I was in it then. So, God, forgive me, but can you please work this thing out for me? Forgive me, God. I'm sorry. Can you please work it out? That's what's going like through my head. So, but what can I do with that? When somebody just don't want you, sometimes and people have been in situations where their parents didn't even want them, where their uncles and aunts didn't even want them, or making them feel like they're an elephant in the room when they walk into the house during the holidays or during a holiday, any holiday, or just coming over just to chat and chew with everybody. And your family members act like you and the bitch when you walk in, and then your sister or brother walking behind you. They're like, oh, hey. And you're like, wait a minute. Did I just walk in with them? Because it's some families that make you feel like you're nothing. It's some people that make you feel like you don't fit in. Why? Because my skin is not light like theirs. Or maybe my skin is not dark like theirs. or maybe because my hair don't look like theirs, you know, or I don't know, maybe I don't play sports like they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes families get upset when the men in the family don't play sports. Well, everybody is not a sports person, but it doesn't mean that they're not a man. Yeah, they are. That's just not what they do. Hallelujah. And I said, as far as he was concerned, there was nothing that would make our marriage work because he was done. And this was actually, we got married in April. By July, it was done. It was over. You talking about somebody shattered? Whew, my whole world crumbled. I hid from my family. I would see them, but I would hide what's going on. They would call me, and I wouldn't even talk about it because I was that broken. And then you know, that's another, that's a trick of the enemy, because he'll make you believe that don't nobody understand where you are. And that's when you start isolating yourself. Don't isolate yourself, because you ain't the first or the last man that went through it. You ain't the first or last woman that went through it. So you got to know that there's other folks out there that was hurting at one time like you, or maybe still hurting, or maybe already healed. But don't allow the enemy to make you feel like ain't nobody else going through it, like only you went through it. It's folk out there that's going through the same brokenness. It may not be the same as yours, but they may be broken. So don't feel like you're the only one, because it can make you feel like you're the only one. You start isolating yourself from everybody. Don't isolate yourself from everybody, because you're not the only one. It don't have to be a relationship. It could just be about you felt like your life should have went this way, but it went another way. Or I should be here at this point, but I'm not. And it seems like I'm never going to get there. You are going to get there. Look at Ruth. Ruth left her whole hometown, her home cold country, just to go with Naomi, because I know she felt like it was something better. See, it ain't over because God says that it's over. So don't feel like where you are, things ain't going to shift, the things are not going to change, because it will. You got to trust God in the midst of that. You got to take for you and do some self-care and know that you will make it. You got to start putting scriptures in your mind and your heart and your spirit and know you can make it. Know you're wonderfully and fearfully made. Know you can get up from me. And I know some of us feel like every time they turn around, it's something else thrown at me, something else thrown at me. But don't you know after a while, peace will come? Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Don't you know that peace will come? You just got to hang in there. Don't give up before the miracle. Don't give up 5 minutes before the blessing. Hallelujah. So working with somebody who felt like, can't nothing come out of this. Your doctor's telling you, no, your life is over. No, God says my life ain't over. He's a healer, and I know he's a healer. How many men and women and children has he healed? I know God to be a healer. I know you can look back over your life or look back at somebody else's life and say, and contest it and say, oh, my God, look how God healed them. I know he can heal me, too, because they serve the same God that I serve. Hallelujah. Pray for God to heal your mind on today. This behind me, this woman here reaching up, shut up, an image of this silhouette behind me of this woman, and you can see it behind me reaching up. Because at one time, this was Luke Bilger who designed that for me. It's the cover of my book, Shattered But Not Broken, how she was reaching up, happy, happy. And I would look at that front of that cover and say, I know God didn't already heal me. I know he didn't already fix it. I know he already did it. I read this book over and over again. I take the affirmations from this book, and I believe it. Hallelujah, because at one time I thought it was no way that God, I know God is powerful, but I'm so broken. How could he mend these broken pieces back together again? But he can, and he did, and he will. You just got to trust that he will. He can, and he will. You got to trust that on the inside. I'm so broken, but you got to trust that. Broken from your loved ones, losing your loved ones. Don't you know he's a healer, and he will heal you? You got to trust God that he will mend your broken heart of losing your loved one. You got to trust God that he will never leave you nor forsake you like his word, because he hasn't. He hasn't left you. No, he hasn't. Let me see. My time may be up. Let me see what time it is, guys. Let me see what's going on with the time, you guys. Ooh. Just one moment, a few more minutes, okay? It'll let me know. And it says, can you mend, I said to the Lord, can you mend all these broken pieces together again, God? Oh, Lord have mercy. When I tell you, when you start asking God and you know he's powerful and you know he can fix it and you know he can do it, and you sit and ask God, God, could you mend these broken pieces? Like, you know he can, but you, I'm just being real and transparent with you guys because that's how broken I was. Oh, my gosh. I thought my heart, no heart could be broken like mine. But God was able to mend broken pieces back together again. So your life is not that shattered that he can't mend. His arms is not too far, that he can, not too short that he can't reach you. Because he can reach you there. His arms is not too short that he can't reach you. He can reach you at any place that you're at. That's the only way I made it is through the Lord. The only way I made it was through God reading scriptures. Even when I didn't want to read scriptures, I read scriptures. Even when I didn't feel like getting up, I said, God, I believe God. Ooh, that was one of my favorites. I just say, I believe God. In the middle of the day, I believe God. Even when I feel like it, my, felt like my feet was numb, I believe God. I heard an inner voice cry unto God. My inner voice cried unto God. Did God answer me? Yes, he did. But I did not realize how much he loved me until I realized that he was crying along with me. Glory. When I tell you, God didn't answer me. He answered me. And then I realized how much he loved me. It wasn't about my ex-husband loving me. It was about God loving me. Because, okay, he don't love me, but I know God loves me. Isn't that something when you feel like don't nobody else genuinely love you, but they say it out of your mouth, but genuinely love you, but you know that God loves you? Woo! That's when I realized, I said, God loves me. He loves me. But nobody else loves me. God loves me. And I realized that in the midst of being broken, I'm asking him about my broken pieces in the marriage, and I realized like a light bulb switch went off. God loves me. He loves me. Oh, Jesus, he loves me. And even when we go through trials and tribulation, he loves me. And he's not doing anything to hurt me. Because the Bible says we're going to go through trials and tribulations. So we're not exempt from that. And sometimes we get angry with God because we feel like we're exempt from it. He went through when he was on this earth, but he gives you all the tools to fight with it. He gives you all the resources to come out of that sin. Amen? Amen. And I realized at that point that when I felt like I didn't hear God, he was carrying me. He was carrying me all along. All along. That desolate place I felt like I was in. He carried me all along. But it's those quiet moments when you're talking to the Lord and I'm asking him questions, Lord, can you mend these broken pieces? And he answered me. And I realized, oh, my God, all along, he was right there. He was carrying me through the whole situation. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to end right there. We can pick it up next week. A will to win. I have 90 seconds left. I extended the broadcast today for 45 minutes because it's just, oh, my God. Ooh, let me see, did somebody call in before it ends? They, no. Okay. So you can always call in next week. I'll post my the number again. On my page, my Hope Victorious page, if you want to comment, God is so faithful and he is so good, y'all. When I tell you, I am just so elated on today with joy because God is so good. And also, I did fasting. I fasted so I can hear God and not being, you know, around all these hoagies and steaks, but just hearing God like, oh, my God. Let me tell you something. I made sure that I took care of me. Because if I couldn't fix that, God could only fix that, but I can take care of me. And that's what I did. I took care of me. Because in the midst, I lost myself. Don't lose yourself in the midst of being in something that's toxic. Don't lose yourself to this society or to community or to social media. Don't lose yourself in who you are. And fight and know who you are. Fight on a job and know who you are. When you know that that promotion is yours. Hallelujah. You fight. Glory be to God. You fight, and God will make every crooked path straight for you. He will. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you and I bless you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your courage. I thank you for your strength. God, you are almighty, and I love you, Lord God. I thank you for just being God all by yourself, God. I thank you for nurturing and for picking me up, Father. When I felt like I could not even sleep, God, you would just come and sit by my bedside, and you would just hold me tight in your arms. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you. When I felt like I was losing my mind, you kept it intact. I thank you, God, for every time I felt like I was having a nervous breakdown, you was right there to strengthen me, to give me more strength to move on and to go on. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, dear God, that you made every crooked path straight, Father. I thank you, God, for that yearning, that fire on the inside that I was able to feel that it ain't over to God says that it's over. Even in this desolate place when I feel so empty, God, you filled every void, God. God, I thank you for filling. I thank you for restoring. I thank you for rejuvenation, God. Hallelujah. Rejuvenate that person who's on this call on today. Do it right now for your glory, God. Go before Egypt Marie on today, God, and our family. Do it right now for your glory, God. Oh, hallelujah, God. It ain't over because God says that it's over. Pray for me. Pray for Sister Cassin on today. Evangelist Cassin on today, God. Move like never before, God. Move with lowly on today, God. Oh, hallelujah, God, and Susan on today, God. Oh, God, I thank you. Touch Willie's family, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, I thank you, and I glorify you, Lord God. God, you got all by yourself. Touch me, she's fiance Derek on today, God, and her son, Father God, Marcel. Hallelujah, God. Touch all of our families, God. Protect us from our hurt, harm, and danger, God. Protect us, God. Michelle Blakemore, God. Do it right now for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Touch Sandy Williams on today, God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing Jacqueline Owens on today. Evangelist Owens, I thank you, God. And but most of all, we thank you for your son Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and we have everlasting life. We send our words, our shall confess our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And touch my family, Lord. Amen and amen. Woo, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, God, woo, should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Woo, glory. Let me tell y'all. A will to win, you got to want to win, but you got to have a will to win. Ooh, glory. Faith without works is dead. Huh. Ooh, my dad always said, you take one step, got to take two. Ooh, glory be to God. Oh, touch my I star one today. He called you. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, God. It's coming. Glory be to God. It's coming. Oh, glory be to God. It's coming. Oh, God. I bless God on today because I know that it's coming. I know that he has given you a will to win, but you got to want it, baby. You got to get up where you are. I put on so many facades for people, and I was hurting so bad on the inside. I'm a living witness. God can heal you. It ain't over till God says that it's over. Can't no doctor tell you nothing. Oh, Jesus, glory. Can't no doctor tell you nothing when Jesus is the creator, when he's the healer. Stop talking about what the universe going to do for you. God created the universe. He is the universe. Oh, Jesus. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And you got to believe your prayers. Believe what God is speaking to you. Believe for your products. Believe for your business. Believe for your mind. Believe for your new mindset, for your new circle, for your resources. You got to believe God for it. Believe it. Believe it. Even when you can't see it, you got to believe it. He called it. Oh, Jesus, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to thirst for it. You got to thirst after God's righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. He called it. Oh, Jesus, thank you. God, thank you. God, I thank you. Oh, glory be to God. My broadcast is over. God bless you all. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. You got to go with the flow of things. You got to put an end and stop to some things that's going on in your life. You got to serve God wholeheartedly. You got to do it. You got to do it. Hallelujah. You don't want to suffer the consequences. You got to do it and live wholeheartedly. And it's leaving everything behind. You got to do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. I see you all on next week. And just know that God loves you and that he cares for you. You can always email me at hopevictorious2@gmail.com or DM me under hopevictorious. God bless you all. Just go in peace. Know God is on your side and know that he loves you and he cares for you. I fell so in love with Jesus during my brokenness because he was the only one who I trusted at the time, who I didn't call Jesus. And I know that he loved me and I know that he would never turn his back on me because he loved me that much. And he loves you that much. Remove the bitterness from your heart. And I had to do that because I was angry at the choice that I made, and I was angry with the Lord. But when God forgave me, and then I had to forgive myself, God loved me. God didn't tell me to make that choice, but I felt like if I made it, God, you know, don't punish me. The consequences of it, the consequences of being disobedient was that it wasn't time, and I stepped out in something that wasn't right. So pray and ask God about everything. I pray over my chips. I pray over my gum. Anything I put in my mouth, I pray about it. Because since I was a little girl, I want to make things sure things is right. You can want something so bad and know that it's not right. But if you just hold on, Jesus, the floodgates of heaven, the flood, ooh, the water, the drenching of the harvest when you sow, ooh, Jesus, is better than anything when you're obedient to God. He called it a simple seed. Ooh, Jesus, all those seeds that you have sown, God is replenishing the earth. He is doing it. Every flower is growing. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vineyards. A blessing, hallelujah, will overtake you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He called it as a good seed. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus. So don't stop sowing. Don't stop sowing. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, glory. Oh, Jesus, harvest, harvest, harvest time. Harvest, harvest, harvest time. Oh, Jesus, harvest time. You already in it. Don't let the enemy tell you that you can't make it in because, oh, you already in. It's already before you. Hallelujah, it's already before you. And God's been already going before you. Oh, Jesus, God bless you. Have a wonderful day and know that God loves you and he cares for you and he is on your side. He is on your side. When ain't nobody else on your side, he is on your side. Oh, Jesus. Huh. He is on your side. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Jesus. Oh, my God. Glory be to God. Oh, that woman who's so empty, who's in her house, so lonely and so empty. You got to fight to win. You have to have a will to win. Ooh, Jesus, you have to have a will to win. Hallelujah, God. Regurgitate. Regurgitate. So God can replenish, restore you, rejuvenate you, regurgitate those old feelings. Ooh, those bitter words. He got them. He got regurgitate those bitter words out of your mouth. So God could rejuvenate. So God could replenish. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So God could rejuvenate and replenish. Regurgitate. Hallelujah. Regurgitation. Hallelujah. So God could replenish and rejuvenate your spirit. Hallelujah. Spirit man. Hallelujah, God. I feel it. Hallelujah. Cry out to God. Hallelujah. Cry out to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hold on there, soldier. Ooh, hallelujah. Hold on to your banister as you walk down the steps. You got this. You got this in Jesus' name. Get your mind back. Get your joy back. Get your strength back. In the name of Jesus, God guide them. Guide them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Love you. God bless you. Go in peace. And know that God is forever your love. And God bless you and see you next Tuesday. Thank you, Jesus.